You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
And we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And boy, as I venture into the mainstream, and we're getting a broader reach here on the Common Sense Show, and we're reaching people whose middle name is cognitive dissonance, boy, is that need to unenslave their minds, is that ever true? That is really true. Hey, just a programming note. You might want to start saying your goodbyes to our intro and our exit themes. They're going to change soon. All good things have to come to an end, and we need to reinvent ourselves, and we're going to go in a couple of different directions in the show, and I'm going to talk about that in the later broadcast. Now, we have a really interesting show for you this evening. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Joe Hagman, and we're going to do the Hagman and Hodges News Report. And there is so much going on that we literally would need all 3 hours, but we just have an hour. In the second hour, I'm going to be joined by Kate Daly, and Kate Daly of Fox News, and ask her what's new in her world and what she's covering, and she's always on the cutting edge. And I want to say something that's kind of interesting. There's a broadcaster here in Phoenix. His name is Darren Dammy, and we've been communicating with each other now through Facebook. I did a podcast, and I compared people like me and Joe and his dad and all these people in the independent media and how we're pro-Constitution, conservative. And 10 years ago, that got you banned from the radio. Charles Guyette, good example. Real popular host here. Frequent guest on the Lou Dobbs Show. Now, comes along 10 years later, 12 years later, here comes Darren Dammy. And my wife came home one day and she said, I just heard you on the radio. I said, honey, I'm done with my podcast for the day and I don't broadcast until Sunday. No, it was KTR Radio. I heard you. His name is Darren, and I swear it was you. He doesn't sound like you, but everything that comes out of his mouth sounds like you. And here's Darren, who is all over the New World Order, all over John McCain, and he's on from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, KTAR.com if you want to listen, and Darren Dammy, D-A-M-M-E, he sounds like me. My wife's correct. That is absolutely the case, and Darren really is on top of these issues. He uses terms like deep state, and here's the point. Here's the point I'm making. More than not, a lot of local radio stations are saying, to hell with the globalists and their control mechanisms. They're saying, this is what the people want to hear, and we're not going to fall on our sword for the globalists and go broke. So we're going to give them programming they want. And Darren Dammy's show, Reality Check, is a good example of that. I mean, he could be right here in Global Star, and you'd think, hey, just another one of the boys. And he's a real down-to-earth guy. We're making plans to get together. I really want to get to meet him and forge a relationship with him. And he has agreed to come on the show. So we're going to work that out when I get back from my trip this week. So I just wanted to point that out. We're turning the corner as far as being accepted into the mainstream. I'm on Red State Talk Radio as well as Global Star. And Red State brings to me mainstream radio stations. So it's happening across the board. And I wanted to point that out to you. It's kind of funny. When we had given up the pursuit of radio stations to appear on, now they're showing up on our doorstep. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. And boy, oh boy, are we in trouble financially. Doug and I might get into this. The Russians and the Chinese are beginning to trade in gold. And what that means, since people are running from the petrodollar and our dollar will soon be left defenseless with no backing, that ain't good for you and it's not good for me. And we could be in very, very big trouble. Well, you know what? you put your faith in the dollar, you're going to get disappointed. That's why you should call Steve tomorrow at 406. Let me get that number right. 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. Steve and his assistant Daryl are the most low-pressure guys that I know. And if they can't help you, they'll tell you to go buy food. And speaking of food, you should buy food. You should buy food, and you should have 6 months to 2 years. Everybody needs a storable food reserve. We use Numana because it's the very best in the whole world. Go to numana.com/Hodges to find out why. And when you're there, take 5% off with the purchase price. Excuse me, the coupon code. I'll get my words straight here. Maybe I'm a little rusty, right? But use the coupon code HodgesNOV5. Again, that's numana.com/Hodges, and the promo code is HodgesNOV5 to take 5% off. Also, keep up with us on our YouTube channel, and we've got kind of a unique approach. We have been fairly successful now at fighting against YouTube's censorship of us. They banned me the other day for simply talking about Big Pharma and school kids. I mean, it was ridiculous how they demonetize you for literally nothing. But nonetheless, more of our people who come to the Common Sense Show on YouTube are doing what's called a two-browser approach. They are playing one browser, and they got the ad. Now, if they like the ad, by all means, watch the ad all the way through. And that's the only way we get paid, is if the ad is watched all the way through. But they'll sometimes say, oh, I don't like this. But they'll turn the sound down and leave it on and open a second browser, and they'll listen to the presentation. And it's made a huge difference in our income. And we were dumping our newsletter this summer. We don't have to do that now because our loyal audience has stepped up to the plate. And I would really encourage you, if you don't go to our YouTube channel, you should be there every day. We have between 4 to 6 new releases every single day. And I do interviews with people who can't come on here live. And a lot of interviews are sometimes 8-10 minutes long, but they give us real insight into what's going on. For example, I just interviewed Paul Martin, and Paul Martin has an inside source. Walker Todd used to be the head of the Dallas Federal Reserve, and he's talking about how the whole system's ready to implode, and we give details. And that's up on YouTube. So go to our YouTube channel, same name as the show, The Common Sense Show. One more sponsor to talk about, BeCandid.com. I've lost employment. I heard a guy yesterday, I was at a party for my son's dojo where he practices karate, learns karate. And one of the people there is a teacher, and he said he got called in because someone put on his Facebook page a picture of Obama and being a monkey. Well, that is pretty racist, and no, we shouldn't be stooping to that level. And he didn't. But because it was on his page and placed there externally, and he hadn't been on for a couple days, he didn't catch it, he got in trouble. Well, a lot of people are getting in trouble for just expressing their views. There's no First Amendment. So some people have to go to BeCandid.com, and they create an identity, they join the Common Sense Show, and they express their views. And I get show ideas from that. BeCandid.com. Okay, we have Joe Hagman, and we're going to get into what we now are dubbing the Hodges and Hagman, or the Hagman and Hodges News Hour. Joe, welcome to the show. We're glad you could be with us. Joe is the host, or one of the two hosts of the Hagman Report, which airs right here on this great network, Global Star Radio Network, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And it's my money, as I say this every week, it's the best radio show that's out there. Joe, how you doing?
Well, thanks, Dave. I'm doing really well. How about you?
I'm doing terrific. Hey, just a quick question. Do you guys have anybody locally like we do with Darren Dammy?
Not so much out of our city, out of our state, really. I mean, I know there are people, but not that we've talked to or run into. There are some radio shows there's one that's about 30 miles south that we used to do that was very patriotic and constitutional. And I'm not sure, it's been a while since we spoke with them, but they're the only ones I can think of. That's back when we started. We used to do them on the weekends. I can't even remember the name. Goodness. But yeah, that's our experience. But you know, a lot of the guests that we have on have radio shows. People like Russ Dizdar, who has a show here on Global Star, and Coach Dave. I mean, these people, some of these people only live, you know, 2 hours away max. And we do get a chance to go visit them and talk with them and interact on our radio shows also, so that makes it nice. But no, we don't have a local person that you do, like you do in your city, who's also doing a similar thing. Not that at least we know about. But that's great that you found somebody.
Well, actually, there is a, and I'm not going to say who because I'm not going to embarrass anybody. because it is a nice intention. I've got a station owner here in Phoenix, too, of a fairly well-known station. I mean, Charles Goyette was actually on there at one time, and they keep sending me stuff, and they want me to come on, and but they want me to raise my own advertising, and I'm not doing that. I'm only going to go on radio stations and say, hey, I'll do a revenue share with you on the advertising. I think we've kind of reached the point where we outdraw most local radio stations across the country, so why should I pay them to be on the air? But Joe, the worm is turning. Here's the point. The worm is turning. I mean, up there in the Oroville area where the dam is, I'm on 2 a.m. stations right there, and I get a lot of people who listen to those stations out of Red State Talk Radio that contact me regularly, give me updates. I see things really changing in the media now where the local media is saying, to hell with the censorship, we're going to give our people the truth because they respond to it with good ratings.
You know, we've seen a number of people in smaller stations pop up in different parts of the country. One of the more familiar ones people are aware of is Ben Swan. I believe he's still in Atlanta now, but he's been on a few local TV stations, and he's always run his show Reality Check, which has had a huge impact on YouTube-type and alternative media. But we've seen him become censored somewhat at a local level with being able to cover certain topics. One of the real popular ones he did was on what many people referred to as Pizzagate. And that was a pretty interesting one he did almost a year ago, right before the election, I believe. I haven't heard from much from him yet, but it's always great to hear when you get more like-minded people, especially in the local areas and in areas where, you know, every individual lives locally. That gives hope that there are people out there that still do care about the truth and aren't afraid to state it how they see it, regardless of the impact. And as you said, more often than not, if people are if they have an idea what they're talking about and they're doing it sincerely and truthfully, the people will respond to that, even on, especially on what we're used to seeing on cable local news channels. And that's a big indicator of the potential for people to start realizing that things may be different than the way they perceive it or have perceived it in the past, if they're just exposed to certain truths that many average people don't ever even care about in a lifetime, which is unfortunate. You know, just a few things, and you never know what can trigger somebody to go down that path.
Well, I think the globalists know that most of the asleep Americans aren't totally asleep. Most of them know something's terribly wrong, but because and I wrote this morning, because they've got a little food in the pantry and they drive to work and the stock market seems to be doing okay, they've got this illusion that everything is going to remain fine. And so what we have to do, Joe, and this is why I get excited with people like Dara Dammy who are coming forward and Ben Swan, because we are changing the odds. And the tug of war is now moving towards our side. And the more someone hears these messages, the more they're likely to say, yeah, I see that. And I don't want my kids to live under this trash. So maybe I should do what's best for my family and get involved. And, you know, people often say to me, how can I get involved, Dave? And I tell them, look, if you don't want to create content, that's great. And if you're uncomfortable engaging friends and family and so forth, just take our shows and take our articles and share them on social media. I mean, that should be the minimum people should be doing.
You know, social media is a very important tool, but a lot of, unfortunately, with what it has become, a lot of people seem to gravitate and are able to filter through things they don't agree with, don't like, whether it's truth or not. So those tools, as helpful as they are, unless you get those people who send you things or hand you things, sometimes you can live in your own little bubble on social media. I know that's not one of the things that's talked about too often, but it is an important aspect when you see the functions on Facebook and Twitter and how things have been changing. You mentioned the YouTube revenue, the switch to algorithms and robots sifting through content, looking for keywords to block out or to filter away posts from other people. That's what we've become, and you mentioned at the very beginning of the show, reinventing yourself. Well, that also applies to the way that we look for information. We have to continue to find new ways to disseminate and to find important information without raising too many red flags, or if you do raise those red flags, make sure you have at least a base of people who can continue to spread it in case you get banned. But, you know, it is, as we're talking about the truth and people locally and what people can do, it's wide open. There's so much people can do, you know, from spreading words about their favorite shows to the shows they think are most important, to actually becoming, what we've seen a lot of, you know, citizen journalists, if you want to call them that. You know, people who are just doing the work and finding out the truth through, you know, fact-checking, and whether it's a specific niche area, you know, like Fukushima or radiation or... one of the things, if we had time tonight, I wanted to get into is there's a very interesting, what I would call either a spree or serial murder case that has just been unfoiled in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. It made national headlines earlier last week, late last week, I mean, when it was, when one of the people to it confessed. But that's a very interesting case where, you know, there are niches people can get into. If something they find really interesting, a topic of debate and, you know, change and something that's relevant, and you can, you know, dig just into those topics and become pretty much not experts, but if you have the know-how and the wherewithal, you can become pretty much an expert, I guess, why not, and just about anything, self-taught. And I guess that's the whole point I said all that, because at this point, if we're not self-teaching, then I think there's a problem. And there's been times in my life where, you know, that didn't apply at all, and that was a lot of times a problem. But I think people need to understand it's not as big as a climb as it might seem if people come together also.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear what you're saying. The bottom line is we can become experts. And that's the nice thing the digital media affords us, is the ability to become an expert. So... Joe, just take myself, and you know, I've never asked you and your dad how you got involved. I think you might have kind of fallen into it because of natural graces, but how your dad got involved. I mean, private detective to, you know, watchman of the world that your dad did for so long and is still doing. That's one thing, and I always wonder how people get involved. I had to get kicked in the teeth by these people before I would get busy. And I hope people don't wait until that happens to them, because by then I think it might be too late. But, Joe, whoever would have thought I would have been behind a microphone, I didn't. And that's true for a lot of people I talk to. People just said, I got a cause, I'm going to educate myself on how to do this, and I'm going to do the best job I can. And people respond to sincerity a lot better than they respond to polished presentations. Just look at CNN.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you make a good point about, you know, you don't think you're going to be the one behind a mic or whatever. And I think that's true. I hope that's true for most of the people. Because if you sit out and intend to do something with I'm going to do this because I want other people just to hear me do it, then that's a problem, from what I could tell. Or at least that leads to a path where you see a lot of these CNN-type anchors that are willing to do any kind of what is... I guess you could even say is half journalism. I say half because it's not, as you said, not sincere. It's not truthful or based on any part of reality. They just get paid to basically read speeches on TV. And if you have that kind of mindset that you just want people to hear you, I bet you are more prone to become that type of anchor. But people who are doing it for the right reasons will always be more, have more credibility, be more sincere, and we'll tell you the truth. And that's one thing that's still great about this country, or there are people out there that are willing to help. And you mentioned, you know, how me and my dad have come into the role we're in now. Well, it's interesting because as much as individual of a walk as that is, our stories are combined, not only from doing the show together, but in basically finding out what was right and wrong as we worked private investigations out of state. We spent so much time in the car. When you got to drive, you know, 8-10 hours a day, or sit in a car 8-10 hours a day, you know, for 4 or 5 days a week, and travel back and forth, you spend a lot of time. Obviously, you spend all your time together, but a lot of time in the car talking. And you know, after 9/11, he started the Northeast Intelligence Network that was based on looking after terrorism and it would counter terrorism and whatnot. But that kind of sprung into him and me talking in the car, and you know, 5 years after we started talking about that stuff, we started a radio show. And I don't know how it happened. It was really an accident that me and him ended up doing the show together. So,
thank you.
I mean, he started it with Judy McCloud from Canada Free Press. They did one episode. She didn't like it. Me and him took over. We were doing it on every Saturday. And that was all it took for some reason, which seems kind of insane, but it happened just that way. And here we are today. So you never know what's going to happen. You know, one day we're riding in a car. And that's our job, investigating workers' compensation and other type of insurance frauds. And the next, you're behind a mic talking to other people, and that's really what happened. That's how I remember it, at least.
Well, let's jump to another track here. What's on your radar? Let me tell you what's on my radar, and let's see if we can find common ground. The biggest story that I'm concerned about in the media moment is the fact that gold is being used as a medium of exchange between Russia and China on an increasing basis, 26% of their trade to be exact. And this is coming at the same time when the world is ditching the petrodollar, which means our dollar is losing backing, and now we have that increased competition from this deal. What's on your radar? I mean, is it economic? Is it political? What is it?
Well, really, a lot of things are interesting about this part of the news cycle. I see on your website, you cover a story, an important story, that I believe was Friday came out, right on the top. CNN spends 93% of airtime on Russia. And I like this example, and there's a few other examples of percentages of news coverage I have here. Because I believe that this thing is grinding to a halt. This narrative, I believe, at least in the minds of the most American people, we're to a point now where if you haven't, you know, fell for the trap, so to say, then you're never going to. And I believe, hopefully, maybe I'm just a wishful thinker, but hopefully these people are coming back down to reality and wanting to change it up. I saw a story also on Thursday about a CNN anchor having Russia fatigue, what they're calling Russia fatigue. And, you know, we still see the things from the Washington Post that I saw in Drudge today about, you know, Trump's approval rating is slumping. And, you know, anything from these Washington Post, New York Times types, CNNs, any polls, it's just does anybody even look at it besides for the fact of what their alleged shock value or, you know, sensationalist headline might be?
No.
And for, you know, a chuckle? I don't think so. And I think the working class citizens of this country, if you polled them individually, not like these skewed polls we'd see, I bet, you know, you'd have about 90% of people that would not care what the news is talking about. They have a number of issues that they believe are important. Healthcare is one of those issues. The economy is another one of those issues. Jobs and different aspects can fall under the economy. And, you know, you mentioned gold between Russia and China. They have been trading in gold since they set up the BRICS. They have, and even before that, they have been. And, you know, that is an indicator, I guess, to keep an eye on and to watch the levels of trade, how much of their trade is between the two countries in precious metals and in other things as well, other commodities. But that's just...
Joe, I think the thing that jumped out at me, though, was the fact that they're now conducting 26% of their trade in gold. It's one thing to agree to it in principle and buy some oil. It's another thing to move towards this as a sense of permanence.
Who can blame them, though? When you look at, even Trump made a statement last week about, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were back on the gold standard? I don't know if that was a hint to a future political move he might take on, hopefully. But, you know, he throws these little truth bombs out there sometimes, and they don't land too well. Everybody's looking for that next big gotcha headline in the mainstream.
Yeah, the last two presidents that advocated a change in currency like that got shot in the head.
Well, you know, it's not that long ago that we were on the gold standard. I was never alive to see it, but that's still not that long ago in the grand scheme of things, unless you take into consideration how what we call the New World Order, the deep state, how they move and operate. Then, yeah, it is a long time, and that would be a pretty big setback, unless they had something even bigger up their sleeve. But I was told once that the real indicator, a real good indicator of the value of the dollar and where the dollar is going is Deutsche Bank from Germany, and to watch their ties to the dollar, that would always be one of the last dominoes that fell, or one of the very important indicators as to the U.S. dollar's legitimacy.
What's on the Hagman's radar for this coming week? What do you think is going to be the big news item that people need to watch for?
I think the healthcare stuff is very important. I say healthcare stuff, assuming people know what I'm talking about. I hope people know what I'm talking about, I should say, because this has been going on for too long. We have a majority House and Senate Republican who for the last 4 years, 6 years even, have been running on the platform of repealing Obamacare and getting back to getting government out of health insurance. And what we are seeing is that the politicians in Washington in the Beltway can't seem to get it together, which I don't believe. They're smarter than that. For some reason, they're not doing this. They're not doing what they said they would do, what they promised they would do, and which they should be unelected for during the next election if they can't finish the health care action. They passed, it was over 60 times in the last Congress, Republican House or Senate, I can't remember which, but when Obama was president, they passed 67 repeal and replace bills. And the reason I'm not sure about the figures is I actually heard this on Sean Hannity Friday on my car ride to the studio. But they passed 67 repeal bills while Obama's president, repeal and replace bills. And obviously knowing that Obama's never going to sign them into law. Well, how come they can't get that done under Trump? And if they can't get that done under Trump, is it because they don't want to? Or they did that, what they did in the past as show, you know, for political grandstanding. And when we have a president who's at the desk saying, you send this bill to me, I will sign it in. If you guys can make this happen, I'll sign it in. That ups the ante a little bit. And then we find out, you know, McCain's health, yeah, it's a story, but it's a personal story. And personally, he should just resign. I don't know if that, they're saying it's kind of, it's more serious than what they let on. The blood clot and the surgery and his health condition overall. But these people don't ever let go of power. This next election, and I believe that Congress is going to continue to stall for what I believe is the election fatigue and the maybe not that the mainstream media, that they'd wait to do anything for the media to die down first, but maybe there was a lot of people wondering if Trump would make it as long as he has, even after the election. Obviously, nobody gave him any chance of winning the election. He won. And since he's been president, everything he's been doing is horrible, according to the media. Maybe they expected something different to happen. Maybe they never thought they'd be in this place, in a position of, we can actually change things for the better. And we can't, you know, grandstand anymore. And maybe they're just... they have some fatigue still in them. They need to get their stuff together. I don't know what it is. I would bet more often than not it's corruption is the reason. So, however we have to, whatever we have to do as a country to, A, fix the healthcare system, and just up there, just as important if not more, is the overall economy. You know, bringing the deficit down with a better budget. So, bringing more tax dollars back to businesses and especially individuals and other money and subsidies that we can, not subsidies so much in the sense of government subsidies, but any way we can find to put more money back in the American public's pocket while not draining future generations with debt and interest under this crazy economy, it would be good. But can these people work together and get it done, or will they, or are they even able to as a corrupt group of people? We don't know the answer to that. But we can hold these people accountable. We can keep track of what they're doing and hold them accountable. If these
Joe, they don't want to. You know, yeah. You hit the nail on the head. It was safe when they passed bills when Obama was president because he would veto them out of hand. Now that Big Pharma's back in their pockets, you know, greasing them up, they're not going to do anything. And honestly, as long as too as you have Paul the Rat Ryan directing traffic on this and deciding what's going to be heard and not heard with regard to the amendments to health care, it's going to stink. I think this health care bill is just as bad, if not worse, than Obamacare. pre-existing conditions, charging you more because you're older. I could go on and on. Joe, here's the bottom line. Is first of all, as long as government's in it, it's going to suck. I mean, plain and simple. Secondly, leaving that judgment out of it, as long as we have a for-profit system, you're going to have a for-rip-off-the-people system. So it doesn't matter what they pass, we're going to be the victims on our end, because Big Pharma is not going to let go of their power, and they're going to spend as much money on Congress as they need to get it their way.
You're exactly right in everything you just said. And what's even worse is when you have the for-profit industry with the government corruption tied together in the same, working in the same agenda. Then everybody except those two groups gets constantly just taking their money right out of their pocket. And it's ridiculous. The health insurance that we pay for is nothing crazy special. And it's so expensive. It's a lot of money just for me and my wife. It's almost as much as our rent, and we pay a lot in rent. Not a lot, but $1,000 a month, you know, up in our area can get a nice, you know, mortgage. But we've been renting a place for that much, and you know, we live paycheck to paycheck pretty much at this point, and that's due to a number of factors. And not that I'm complaining, but just making the point that things are becoming more expensive. The more money you make, obviously that's going to be better for you, but when you look at the value of the currency from 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, versus what it is today, you know, even 35 years ago, $2 billion being equal to $30 billion today, isn't that a little insane for the value of the currencies to deflate so much? And doesn't that go back to, obviously it goes back to the Federal Reserve and the...
Well, it's by design, Joe.
It is by design.
Who benefits from this? People who are into commodities, people who are into gold, where the value doesn't fluctuate like we see with currency, which is always a downward spiral. And then the rich will benefit indirectly. Let me explain how. If you are living in an environment where the inflation's 5%, and that's kind, it's much higher than that, but let's say it's 5% for the sake of argument. Okay, in 5 years, you've lost a quarter of your earning power. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to your boss and say, hey, I'm not keeping up with inflation. I can't even pay my bills now. I need a raise. Well, that jumps you into a higher tax bracket. The government gets more money. They like it. And then, of course, they can spend more money on these make-work projects for the wealthy so they can make $65,000 toilet seats. That's why we have this system. That's why we're off the gold standard. Because if we were on the gold standard, the government would be limited on how much money they could print and how much they could spend.
Well, that and the point that we make often on our show is, and that most people know, is the Federal Reserve is privately owned. Our government does not own or is part of the Federal Reserve, which is, I know people won't believe it if they don't go look it up for themselves, but in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act did change everything. And to have privatized banks issuing currency with interest controls and being able to manipulate whole countries based on, you know, their currency that these countries are dependent upon. It's a scheme. And as you said, the rich continue to get richer, and that will be the case. You know, that's starting the most extreme with the people who are on the top. And that's the way it's been in this country for a long time. I'm sure since you can even remember it. And it is hard out there. And one of the interesting things we talked about this last week on the show with Josh Kaplan from VesselNews.io is the transformation to artificial intelligence type equipment and technology in the job market. And we've seen this with fast food. Workers are asking for, you know, a mandatory minimum wage of anywhere from $10 to $15. And these fast food companies are moving these kiosks and other computerized type technology in and moving the workers out. And there's a study done that, you know, in 10 more years we're going to see a huge percentage of manufacturing and the workforce sector knocked out due to this technological increase that's going to be another big indicator of where things go in the future, if we even get down that far down the road with this. Because, you know, you start talking about the single-payer healthcare system and universal basic incomes and this whole social justice warrior communist totalitarian ideology that we just talked about, that's in play as well. And we had a very interesting guest in the third hour on our show. He was right inside DHS, Phil Haney, and he was there for a long time. He was the whistleblower who exposed the Obama administration, the extent they were covering for the Muslim Brotherhood. And he said it doesn't take, he talked about from a different perspective how what the Constitution says, you know, when a people want to change or overthrow a government as tyrannical, you know, it's there to do so. And he talked about the green-red, the communist-Muslim-type silent coup we see going in this country, and how, you know, they look at it as the same way as people who are looking at it from a more patriotic constitutional standpoint. They're looking at it from the opposite standpoint. They don't like the capitalist form of republic that was formed, and they want to overthrow the government. And they'll use the Constitution to do it. That's their MO. That's their blueprint, the Saul Alinsky tactics. And that's what's happening in this country. And we're seeing the people in power who are trying to, from the deep state to the New World Order, they are trying to have a coup inside of our government, using our own laws as the basis for that coup.
Well, you're right about that. It is a coup. And, you know, you and I are embroiled in this every day. So we see how chaotic it is, how dangerous it is, and how volatile and how easily this could go to widespread violence. You know, to the average person just traveling down the street going to work tomorrow morning, life is blissful. Joe, what do we got to do to reach these people?
Well, unfortunately, more often than not, it seems that personal experience has a lot to do with that process. So whether it has to have their livelihood or job threatened, some kind of big change that they've noticed, or people have to just be paying a little bit of attention. You know, if we read the Bible, it talks about people planting seeds and letting the Lord water them. So if the person, it depends on what they're exposed to in their daily life, but more often than not, it's going to take a personal experience, unfortunately. And it's usually a negative experience, a mistake, or something that we learn from, either way, mm-hmm. that we apply a change in our life, or that changes the way we perceive things, that leads to these types of changes in our mental process and moments of clarity and different things. But it's going to take people thinking a little bit outside the box, not just buying into everything they believe or told from the once would be called trusty sources. Unfortunately, we can't rely, nor should we really ever have relied on just a very few small finite number of sources to give us all the information properly. Now, when the same people who own those sources of information also have an interest in you know, the Federal Reserve and the things we're talking about. And that's the one thing that is wrong with capitalism. Unfortunately, aside from a very prudent population, what are you going to do to uncover that? The world will fall into chaos just because good men do nothing. And if that's all it takes, then what does that say about which way we're headed? Unless you take action, that could be, you know, it's each and every one of our responsibilities. So if words can do it, I hope that sparked an interest, but otherwise it's going to take life experience.
Yeah, kind of like me, knowing kind of what's going on. See, I have no excuse, Joe. I read Pat Wood and Anthony Sutton's book back in 1980, Trilaterals Over Washington. I knew, I understood it. You know, I didn't have the level and depth of understanding I do today, but I knew what it meant. I meant a violation of the Constitution, and that the American people were living under an economic dictatorship. I knew that. I knew it was fascism. And yet, my life was working, so I just keep on living my life. And I had to run into John McCain and his merry band of banksters in trying to steal my land, and them, those, and us. They tried to basically wipe out our lives. And it took me going through that, Joe, to wake up and actually come to where I am today. And I wish I had the magic formula that could get people to not have to get kicked in the teeth to get working.
Yeah, in your case, that's an extreme case, eminent domain and federal claims.
There was no eminent domain. I would have taken that. They just wanted to steal the land. I mean, there was no money being offered. They weren't offering 6 cents.
Well, either way, yeah. I mean, that's just as crazy. But even a lot of cases of eminent domain, you see people get, you know, 30, 40, 50, 70 cents on the dollar, which even if it's anything less than 110, it shouldn't even count for the hassle that they have to go through. And we've seen, you know, civil asset forfeitures become a big law enforcement tool as well, especially with the IRS. Even under the Obama administration's abuse of the IRS towards the patriotic constitutional type Americans, the civil asset forfeiture is a tool that is used even without criminal charges anymore, which is a huge crime that's increasing, a government crime that's been increasing in numbers recently. And that's very troubling when we think about,
right,
you know, government agencies that are held to a higher standard with an oath of responsibility to do things righteously, I guess, for lack of a better term, who abuse it wholeheartedly and do everything they can to steal from the people. That is a huge danger that is going on all across our country and always has been in different forms. But when we see it, you know, increasing and bubbling out in different sectors and areas, it's very concerning, especially when it's tied to the IRS, the number one law enforcement financially targeted agency on the planet. That's just very dangerous ground.
Well, it's not only dangerous ground. I think that is the bottom line. That's the bottom line comment. I'll leave that there. It is very dangerous ground. There's no question about that. The IRS are the modern day Gestapo. They may as well just don the armbands, because eventually, Joe, all of us are going to be targeted by them because we don't fall into line. I mean, if they did it to the Tea Party, they'll do it to the Common Sense Show and to the Hagmann Report. So there's no question that it is a great, great tragedy. Let me break a story here, Joe, and I get your reaction to it. I'm going to come out tomorrow with it, I don't know, in print, but definitely a podcast. My best source, my number one Benghazi source, and if people follow me for any length of time, you know the significance of that. He has been real quiet with me. He hasn't really given me much. And this has gone on now for about 45 days, and this is pretty unusual. And out of the blue, says, I got something big for you. What? I said, the whole world's looking at increased fuel capabilities for the ICBMs for North Korea, and the nuclear this and the nuclear that, and they can hit California. No, they can hit Colorado. And he said, all this is true. But he said, let me tell you where the real attention's being focused by the intelligence circles and our military that are actually working to try to win a war if we go to war, that they are fearing that North Korea won't launch a nuclear strike, won't necessarily launch an EMP attack that we've all written about or talked about. What they're talking about are using assets in country and making sure they actually shuttle to them their vast amounts of biological and chemical weapons and have a Tet offensive along these lines. Now, I think that's really, really interesting. And, Joe, if this weren't my best source, I wouldn't be sounding the alarm bells. This is my best source and has been for years. And I said, what's your confidence call on this? And he said, about 95%. He said they have two choices. He said they can scud missile us and the coastal cities will be imperiled, or they can do what I just mentioned, which is try to maintain as much plausible deniability as they can and give it to assets in country like ISIS. And I thought, whoa. Are you getting anything like that at all on your sources about the North Koreans and biochemical attacks?
That's the first time I've heard about it. And, you know, not that that's out of the realm of possibilities. And I'll say this, the governments, even our government, does a number of studies to experimental projects that even will do two types of things. One, we'll do a risk assessment of different areas prone to different types of disasters, whether it's natural disaster, biological terrorist disaster. We've seen it with the New Madrid DHS, reports that they've put out, you know, very detailed 100 plus page reports about scenarios like EMPs or the New Madrid. So governments do that naturally, basically risk assessment. And then you have, if it's a more internal, coming from, you know, Kim Jong-un, saying something like that. I mean, not to question the validity of the source, but that just sounds it seems like the MO that they're working right now, the scare tactics with missiles and ICBM, seems to be working for them. I don't know that they would be, except maybe locally, working some kind of chemical or biological angle to unleash on their own people or even the South Koreans or anybody around them, maybe. But I think what we've seen from them is a lot of bark and no bite. And for whatever reason, some overcompensating by our media or some of the politicians in response to North Korea. I mean, every week they can say that they're going to bomb us into obliteration, and they never do. Yes, we should have our eyes open and our defenses up. But beyond that, with our track record, I wish people would just take a step back, at least a little bit, from the North Korea stuff, because aside from launching tests and talking a lot of junk, they don't do much. And they haven't. Not recently, at least.
Joe, they're a puppet state of China. That's where they're getting their marching orders from.
Right. I do agree with that. Marching orders, or they do have a... North Korea and China have a very interesting relationship that I don't think the U.S. completely understands. It's as easy as they could be taking orders like a junkyard dog to some kind of more complex relationship. We know that they do work together as governments and trade different things, fuel and coal, things like that. And I'm sure it's much more in-depth. But, you know, North Korea, yes, it poses a threat. But when you think about our government overthrowing countries in the Middle East, the whole Arab Spring, you know, I'm more worried about... I believe the only thing that can take our country down is something internal. And I believe that that's where the danger, true danger, comes from at this point. More so than anywhere outside of our country is our own internal danger from the deep state, from the intelligence agencies that are not on the right side, and any other financial or political organization that's working against the best interests of the Republic and the laws and the Constitution, I believe is more of a danger to us than North Korea. That's why I kind of said what I said.
Joe, final question, and you know my track record. I don't ever advocate for violence except in self-defense. But I'm surprised, knowing some of the ex-Black Ops, Special Ops, and some of them are currently in service, and the rumors about the bankers and that whole thing, I'm surprised that they haven't taken out George Soros. Not that I'm advocating for it, but I'm just saying it surprises me. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's some part of my brain that agrees with what you're saying, but another part of my brain is saying, give me a good example of this in history, Dave, where we've seen these corrupt people, maybe some weird part of the French Revolution, maybe. I mean, but in recent history, we don't have, aside from foreign governments like, you know, the Nazi Germany, we saw take a pretty hard fall, rightfully so. But there's not a lot of examples in human history where the bad guys get punished for what they do, at least not in this life, and not in front of what we see right now. I wish that were the case. I wish that we would see more people brought to justice, but, you know, if we look at it from a religious and a political standpoint, at least that's what makes most sense to me, is the fact that Satan rules this world. And as much as there are good people all throughout the world, there is evil in this world. And that evil seems to rise to the top, or become part of that evil, however it happens. But there's not really justice in this world for when we're talking about the things we're talking about, at least not that we see. And that's been historically accurate, except for small moments in history. So it's going to take something big to change that, I believe.
Yeah, one answer if I were to answer my own question too, Joe, I would say, you know, Soros goes away, Soros number two will just replace him.
Yep,
and the agenda
exactly.
Won't change one iota. So, and maybe that's why people who realize it saying it's a fool's errand to try to do this. But I always have thought, too, that the way that military thinks is you cut off the head of the snake. So that's why I was a little conflicted when I asked you the question. What guest do you have coming up this week, Joe, that people would want to hear?
Well, instead of talking about just one guest, I'm going to explain what's been going on with our show. Very recently, we partnered up with WorldNet Daily, And we have been getting almost every show for the last week and a half, and I believe through the next few weeks, we'll be interviewing a different author from WorldNet Daily. And we've had authors from WorldNet Daily on in the past, folks like Jonathan Kahn and others, but it's really interesting that we're teaming up, and they're sending us basically Rolodexes of people. We had Senator Tom Coburn on this last week. A number of people from the, talking about, you know, the Islamic agenda from inside and outsiders' perspective, from inside government and outside government, to help the healthcare issues. Senator Tom Coburn came on for an hour and talked about a number of different things that we can do through Article 5 of the government. So we've been partnering up with WorldNet Daily, and they've been bringing a different author every night, and that's going to be the tone, the pace of the show for the next few weeks that I'm aware of, as well as a number of other guests that will be on each and every night. So there's not really one person to focus on, but if we're going to focus on something, I'd say the team up between WorldNet Daily and the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Yeah, that is an interesting partnership, and certainly they do have a number of authors that I admire greatly that are out there on the cutting edge. And congratulations for getting a senator to come on. I had on Congressman Bob Jones a few years ago, but those guys shy away from me. Now, yeah, I can get them to come on when they leave office, but then they're not really relevant. So that's why I go by this. When I turn on CNN, the last guy that I want to see is Newt the Has-Been Gingrich. And that's why I don't bring him on unless they're current. The guy drives me up the wall. Mr. Bohemian Grove himself. Well, your dad has a book, I should say, that it's called Stained by Blood. We advertised for it on the Common Sense Show. I know it's available on Amazon, and I know it's based on a real life experience from a tragedy in your father's family's background. Tell people how they can get a copy of it besides coming to the Common Sense Show.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave. Stained by Blood is the book my father wrote. And there is a website, stainedbyblood.com, or you can go to hagmanreport.com, or look for the title based on an Amazon search. And the book is about a personal story that my father was involved in as a family member was murdered. His involvement is an investigation as the beginning of his private investigation career was underway, and the tracking of those killers and something uncovering of many darker and other things that were ongoing. But it's his experience based on put into a kind of a fictional spin where the names and other things are changed. But it's a very interesting book, and I love, as I mentioned earlier, the crime aspect of things. I was talking about the Bucks killers, the Bucks County killer case that's been ongoing.
And Joe, I'm sorry.
This is a crime story.
I did a bad thing, Joe. We're out of time.
Oh,
Stained
right,
by
David
Blood.
Finker.
Yeah, Stained by Blood. Available also on the Common Sense Show. Thanks for joining us, Joe. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks, Dave.